No, thank you.
I haven't finished my lesson yet. You might want to take it back.
Yep, got it. Right behind you, Jeff.
You need one?
No, I think I'm good. So good to see you. Not sure if the Super Bowl quite turned out like you had hoped that it would. Brady and the bunch won it again. But anyway.
They did.
So football season's over with. For a few months anyway. and it'll start back up again here soon, I'm sure. But anyway, so good to see you tonight. Happy that you're here. And it's with the crazy weather we've been having, it's good to be here. And, I know last Wednesday, cold temperatures kind of kept us indoors. But I'm glad that you're here. We have been discussing the eternal plan, God's eternal plan. Key passage that we've been looking at, and I think this diagram helps us out immensely, is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. That's the key passage that we've been really presenting each class, and that's our platform. That Christ was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And in that, we see that God had a plan in place to redeem man, to save man. And this diagram, I think, is very beneficial because as we've been going through each period in the Bible, we've noticed that God, at various times, in various ways, that God has revealed His plan to us, whether it is imagery, whether it is a passage, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, God has revealed to us His plan to save man from the creation to the cross. Tonight, we're going to look at a Bible period, and you have, should have, anyway, a sheet. I put two sheets out over here. The period of the divided kingdom. The period of the divided kingdom. When we consider the divided kingdom, and you have your sheets, I'm going to defer to it. You see that the division of the kingdom, it was from the division of the kingdom to the fall of Israel. And you're looking at about a 720 time span. Scriptures that are covered are here in this period, 1 Kings chapter 11, 2 Kings 18, 2 Chronicles 10 through chapter 32. The element involved, it involved about 253 years, okay, this entire process. Under the United Kingdom, we're looking at about 120 years. The cause of the division, 1 Samuel 8 and 1 Kings chapter 12, it is rejecting or the rejection of God's order, Rehoboam's stubbornness, and fulfill prophecy. Capitals, 1 Kings 12 and also in chapter 16, the capital of Judah remained in Jerusalem. The capital of Israel was first at Shechem, then Tirzah, and then there it moved from there to Samaria. I'm not going to list all the kings. They're right there before you. We've got 14 bad kings in Israel. All 14 are bad kings in Israel. Okay? We have 19 kings in the southern kingdom. And there were some good, but there were some that were bad. At the bottom of the sheet, this is important because we're going to pivot here tonight. You see prophets. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the prophets, Isaiah, Hosea, Amos, Micah, Jonah, and Joel. When we are looking at this kingdom, this divided kingdom, and here's some of the main points, things that we just covered. When we are looking at this, I want us again to consider we have a new element that we're going to introduce. And it is right here. Prophets and God's people. Okay? That's the last piece that we're going to see before we come to the cross. Okay? As you're following this progression with regards to creation, God's promises, God's people that God is using, how these key people moved by faith and trust in God. And we come all the way up to the prophets, and then you have the list of the minor prophets right before you come to the New Testament. Okay? So this is, we're getting ready to make our way to the cross, from creation to the cross. We looked at the story of the period of the United Kingdom the last time we were together. The 12 tribes of Israel had formed that United Kingdom. Three kings. Who were they? Who were our three kings in the United Kingdom?
Saul, David, and Solomon.
David and Solomon, right? All right. That's who they were. Sad to say that this United Kingdom would not stay united, and it would become the divided kingdom. Let's look at some moving pieces and parts as to why that happened. And this is critical for our study tonight. I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bible. Someone turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. And I want someone else. Who's going to take 1 Kings chapter 12 for me? Okay, Lloyd's got that. And then someone else is going to take 1 Samuel chapter 8. Just turn there. We're not going to read the whole chapter. I just want you to... Don will take 1 Samuel 8. Well, when I tell you to read the portion of passages, let's do that. When Solomon died, his son, Rehoboam, was crowned king in Shechem. 1 Kings chapter 12 and in verse 1. You remember the citizens of the kingdom went to Rehoboam, and they had a request of him. Lloyd, you've got 1 Kings? Okay, go ahead and read what I assigned.
What
1 Kings chapter 12, verses 4 through 11.
Okay.
And listen carefully to what is going on here.
Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he puts on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then came Rehoboam and Solomon the elders who stood before his father, Solomon, while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, you will be a servant to these people today, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them. Then they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Then the young men who had grown up with him and spoke to him, saying, thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you made it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's weight. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourge. So Jeroboam and all the people.
That's good, Lloyd. Go ahead and stop there.
Okay.
We're good. We're good. Because basically the next part of that was Rehoboam is going to follow through with the advice of what? The older, wiser elders or the young guys? Okay?
The stupid advice.
Okay, that's exactly right. Listen, behind the scenes, we can almost envision this. I mean, it's no secret. You know, when daddy dies, you know, by default, you're going to become king. You're going to be crowned king, just by default. And we can see as Rehoboam, can you just see it now as he's growing up with his buddies? Hey, when we're in power, you know, we rule, you know, and we're going to do things our way. You know, man, I tell you, and that is such a, it's pride. And I got to remind Cole, my son Cole, we're graduating 6 seniors on the basketball team this year. Next year we will have all juniors, 1 senior. And the 1 senior that plays now barely plays. And so they're already chipping and talking about, you know, the way it's going to be next year. I said, son, you know what's going to happen next year? You're going to take a beating next year because you're juniors, you know. But, you know, we can almost just see this behind the scenes that they're just, you know, when you come in power, you know, things are going to go our way. And it's pride. The yoke that they're talking about here. You remember under Solomon, there were a lot of building projects. Jerusalem was growing, okay? It wasn't some little cow pasture with a castle in the middle, okay? It's growing, all right? And for it to grow, Don, why don't you go ahead and take 1 Samuel chapter 8, because there was a warning that was issued, verses 10 through 18.
So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king, and he said, "This will be the behavior of a king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage, and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men, and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. And the Lord will not hear you in that day.
He will take. He will take. He will take. He kept reading it, right? He'll take. But this is what y'all wanted. Y'all wanted a king. Y'all said you want to be like everybody else. And that's what you got. Watch what you ask for. God may give it to you. And he did. He gave it to him. Okay? So the load, the burden, the yoke is just the work, the taxes. Okay? They were being taxed to death. And they said, hey, give us a break. Give us a break. A name that Lloyd had begun to read in verse 12 was a fellow by the name of Jeroboam. Rehoboam had failed to heed the instruction of the older elders. And by the way, as a side note to this, the greatest leaders are servants. You can take that to the bank from what was just read there, what Lloyd just read. That was the advice the elders gave him. If you, as a leader, serve them, man, you got them. They'll serve you to the day they die. They're yours. Okay? So just notch that one back in the back of your head. The greatest leader is a servant. But that was the advice he was given. Jeroboam, as you recall, who was informed in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verses 26 through 39 by Ahijah, the prophet, who came to him and he tore his garment into 12 pieces. And he gave him 10 of the 12. And so it is already prophesied that Jeroboam would take 10 tribes and they would revolt, rebel, and leave. The United Kingdom would now become the divided kingdom. Whenever that was discovered by the king, Jeroboam fled for Egypt, you remember, seeking political asylum. Okay? And Shishak, number one, the first, gave him political asylum. And then after Solomon died, he came back and he took 10 tribes. And guess what they did? They went north. Okay? That's how you end up with the northern kingdom. Okay? So now we have the divided kingdom. So what's a king to do? I mean, all their allegiance, their loyalty, their love, their affection is down south. Okay? They're southerners by heart. Okay? Bless their hearts. Okay? They're southerners by heart. And what's a king to do? Let's look at what he proposed. Someone go over and look at 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 25 through 33. Archie, thank you.
Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim, and dwelt there. Also he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, the king asked the dice, made 2 calves of gold, and said to the people, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt.' And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now that this thing became a sin for the people, went to worship before the man and for the man."
Okay. Let's see here. Archie, I might want you to read a little bit more here. Where did you stop at? I'm sorry.
30.
Okay. Yeah, please do. Keep going, because there's pieces to this.
"And made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. We did at Bethel sacrificing to the calf that he had made, and at Bethel he installed the priest at the high places which he had made. So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart, and he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, and offered sacrifice on the altar.
Oh, what's going on here? What is going on here? Well, I'm going to be a nice king about this, and I'll tell you what. I'll do everything in my power. You know, first of all, I don't know. If you all go back there, you might want to stay there. Okay, I'll try to do the best I can to avoid worship on the holy days in the southern kingdom. Is that what happens? No. Man, I tell you, what he did was he set up a new religion. I mean, that's, Lloyd, your lesson was on denominationalism. Yeah. Kind of, that's a tongue twister, too. I got lucky getting that out. So, but, you know, so he set up, you know, we hear a lot fake news. This is fake worship, okay? Because they're setting up worship, okay? They're worshiping idols, okay? And did what about the priest? "Hey, you Levites, can you come up here and do this for us? At least we'll try to get that part right." Is that what happened?
No.
No, we're going to blow by that. The wrong people now are presiding over the worship. Okay? And cunningly and cleverly, deceptively, he sets up the worship to compete with rival and as rival days with holy days in the southern kingdom. You know, there is nothing good about this. I think of comments that are sometimes made with regards to children that are grow up in homes that are really bad. Really bad. We might say they are severely dysfunctional. And don't you just ask yourself, man, what chance did this stand? Now, seriously, what chance did this stand? I'm asking you, with this type of setup religiously, what chance did they stand? They don't have a shot. They don't have a shot. Now, we're going to talk about how, when 722 rolls around, how Samaria came into existence. Okay, we'll get to that in just a little bit. But all 14 kings in the south, there were 14 kings. Some were good. But when we're looking at the 19 kings and the 19 different dynasties, when we're looking at them, there were 5 assassinations. Anybody want to be king for a day? I mean, you know, it's spin the wheel. It's like, you know, it's just not a good time to be a king because they were, Lloyd, you talked about it earlier, they were killing one another off, right? So, you know, it was a sad, sad time. And the things that were going on were horrific. You know, a passage is in 1 Kings chapter 15, 34. I'll read it. It says this. It was sad almost because almost every king who followed Jeroboam, it says this, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, walking in the ways of Jeroboam and in his sin, which he had caused Israel to commit. They didn't stand a chance. What do you say? They didn't have a shot. So in spite of their wickedness, God did not. Here's the great thing about God. God didn't give up on them. You need to know that. How do we know that? Well, let's talk about some prophets real quick. Did God send any prophets to the northern kingdom? He did. Elijah, right? You remember, we had a lesson not long ago about Elijah, just a little blurb, you know, about his confrontation with Ahab. Remember, King Ahab? Elisha, right? God had sent various prophets at various times to the northern kingdom to try to help them. We're going to see in a little bit, there was a king, actually, in Judah that sent out an open invitation to the citizens of the northern kingdom whenever the temple was restored and repaired, inviting them back to worship God. Okay? God was always calling them, come back home. Return. Come back. And we see this. God seemed to always throw them a lifeline. While Israel, her spiritual condition was on a downward spiral from the beginning, Judah was up and down. The period of the divided kingdom, Judah's condition degenerated rapidly in Rehoboam's days in 1 Kings in chapter 14 and verses 22 through 24. And it continued during his son's rule in 1 Kings 15, verse 3. It improved under Asa in 1 Kings in chapter 15 and verses 11 through 15. The covenant was even renewed. And we see that in 2 Chronicles 15, verses 9 through 5. Asa's son, Jehoshaphat, he did a very foolish thing. We're allowing his son to marry into the family of Ahab and Jezebel. 2 Chronicles chapter 18 and verses 1 and chapter 21 verse 6. On down the road, a little young tyke, 7 years old, Joash became king. He is king of Judah, but he has some oversight. Jehoiada is his mentor, and he is a priest. Under his reign, the temple was repaired. Sacrifices were offered continually. 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 2 through 16. However, and I want to talk about this just briefly before we move too far. When Jehoiada died, Joash allowed Judah to spiritually spiral out of control. Let's look at 2 Chronicles. Someone look at 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, verses 17 through 22. 2 Chronicles 24, verses 17 through 22. Austin, you got that? Amanda, I'm going to let you get the next one.
Now, after the death of Jehoiada, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them, and they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Yet he sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. He testified against them, but they would not pay attention. Then the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says God, why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." But they conspired against him, and by command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. And when he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see an event."
Let me ask you something. Thank you, Austin. It seemed like Joash did well under the oversight of Jehoiada. Jehoiada dies, and then all of a sudden, Joash loses control. Is there a lesson for us? I mean, I'm just asking because it's a sad moment. It's a sad moment. Seriously. It's a sad moment. And is there something here that you see where you have perhaps a spiritual mentor in your life? And then they die, they go on, and it's you just see him lose his mind. Any thoughts about that? I mean, I'm going to tell you. Been in the church enough to see where folks are coming. But whenever granddaddy dies or daddy dies, then people peel away from the church. I hate to say it, it's true. Now, it shouldn't happen that way, shouldn't say. It should be, man, a foundation was laid, you know. And I see that too. I see a godly heritage. That's what we want, a godly heritage. And it goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. But honestly, I see this happening too. Dale.
People think when we were growing up, we knew what he taught, but he wanted us to be a member of the church because we wanted to be a member of the church, not because he was.
Good point.
You decide for yourself, and if it's true, then you follow.
Right. Yes, it needs to be a part of your identity. Okay, who you are, right? It's your conversion, right?
Donald? I remember my dad saying, he said, you can't inherit an entrance into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
You have to earn it every generation.
Right, right,
Every generation. You've got to earn it.
Another Ray Pugh quote. I sent you something, by the way. So, exactly. You know, the longest reign of Judah... The longest reign in Judah during this period was a king by the name of Uzziah. He reigned 52 years, according to 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 2. At first, and here's the thing, beautiful thing about King Uzziah. He was very proactive in his faith for God. He was a very spiritual man. But something happened. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Let's look at this. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 16 through 21. Amanda, you want to take that? Because if you don't, this is going to become personal, I can see. So you had your hand up and I missed you. Go ahead.
But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of Israel. And Azariah the priest went in after him with his 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It apparenteth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be to thine honor from the Lord God. And Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy, he rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, and beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief of the priests, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, thou himself hasted
also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. If you guys were to read the verses before that, and I know I had Amanda to read verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. He became a proud man. If you were to go back and read what happened before, man, he was really doing some great things. As a king. Awesome things. God was with him. But what happened? You know, he goes into the temple. What's he doing? Is he doing something that he's permitted to do? He's not permitted to do this. Okay? This is reserved for someone else to do. This is for the priest. You're not a priest. You are a king. Okay? And it gets back to, man, all roads are going back to what you take my notes and you come up here and teach us, you know, about the fact that people are filled with pride and all of a sudden, instead of us doing it God's way, I'll just do it my way. I'll just do it my way. And, you know, there's a message here for us, isn't there? Okay?
That's our culture today.
It is. It is. And that, you know, it's, you know, it's the culture, Carl, of sin. Because that's been the culture of every generation when someone decides to not do what God commands them to do. It's the culture of sin. Okay? All right. Any comments or thoughts over that before we move on? These are just things that as we're looking at these kings, because we're going to get into the prophets in just a little bit. Okay.
That's the same thing with the your spiritual sword is telling us in these articles that are for our benefit. That's powerful.
Absolutely. Powerful. It is. Absolutely. It was during the reigns of Uzziah, his successors, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, that, here's some prophets for you, Isaiah and Hosea prophesied, Isaiah 1:1 and Hosea 1:1. Amos also occupied the prophetic office in Uzziah's reign, Amos chapter 1, verse 1, while Micah spoke for God during Jotham's and Ahaz and Hezekiah's reign in Micah and chapter 1 and verse 1. Uzziah's grandson, Ahaz, made a deal with Tiglath-Pileser, okay, the Assyrian king. And this helped lead to him forging that relationship, helped lead to the downfall of the northern kingdom. Now we're going to talk about some of those kings because we're running out of time here real quick. We've got about 10 minutes left. As we make a transition to the northern kingdom with regards to Jeroboam, he had only one of his family as a successor, and that was Nadab, who was, believe it or not, assassinated by Baasha, who ruled for 24 years. He, too, only had one family member, Elah, who reigned 2 years. Then there was Zimri. He slew Elah, and he reigned 7 days. See what I'm saying? Who wants to be king? Anybody want to be king? Step one up. No, I'll just sweep the temple. Thank you. I'll do other things. Samaria had become the capital. Okay. There was a whole lot of bad guys that went on. As we stated earlier, they got off to a bad start because the blueprint they were given was faulty. Okay? They were caught up on to worship false gods, false worship. The system was broken. You didn't stand a chance. It was designed to fail. It was designed to fail. When finally in 722 BC, the Assyrians came in and they had taken the northern kingdom into captivity. The interesting thing about that was the fact that the king, after he would take most of the Israelites off into captivity, he would allow pagans to come and inhabit the northern kingdom from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and various other places. There was a small remnant of Israelites that were left in the northern kingdom. They would intermarry with these pagans, and they would become known as
Samaritans.
There's where your Samaritans come from. And that is why you always see confrontation with Jesus' disciples and the Samaritans, because they viewed them as being illegitimate. And that's why the woman at the well had a discussion with Jesus. She had a religious discussion. It was a Bible question is what it was. Oh, you're a prophet. Okay. You know, I'm telling you, I get that all the time when people find out you're a preacher. Oh, hey, I got a question. You know, that's after they stop. They apologize for the cussing that they just did for the 10 minutes in our conversation. But, you know, and so, you know, hey, I got a question for you. Worship, you know, we say Mount Gerizim is the place to worship, and you guys say Jerusalem. And, you know, so that's the Samaritans. Okay, that's the Samaritans. So now what we plan to do is next time, we're going to look at the southern kingdom. Okay, we're going to look at Babylon. But with regards to that, we see glimpses. We see glimpses of the eternal plan. It comes to us by way of prophetic messages from major and minor prophets. Someone read Isaiah 7:14 real quick. We've got about 5 minutes. Isaiah 7:14. Now remember, we discussed Isaiah earlier. Okay? It's not just like a man by the name of Isaiah wrote a book. And he had nothing to do with anything. He's just off in a cave somewhere and he wrote it. You know, he was very much interactive. So who's got Isaiah 7:14? Read it.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel.
Okay, who are we talking about here?
Jesus.
Okay, we're talking about Jesus, huh? Yeah. And Mary, right? Yeah. Okay, all right, so there's Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Who's got that? Go ahead, Jana.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, then forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Who are we talking about? What are we talking about? Bless you. Who and what are we talking about? Christ and? The church. Thank you. Okay. The eternal kingdom. Right? Good segue. All right. Isaiah 53. That's all about the suffering servant. Something really neat happens with Isaiah chapter 53 because a man by the name of Philip had a conversation, you know, with an Ethiopian. You remember that, a treasurer for Candace the Queen. And that's where he was reading from, right? And he opened up his mouth and he preached Jesus to him, right? And with someone who knew nothing about the gospel as far as New Testament conversion. And all of a sudden, look, here's what?
Water.
What prohibits me or prevents me from being baptized? I want to tell you, when you share Jesus with someone and they not obey the gospel, there's a clue. That baptism better be making its way into the conversation when we're talking about conversion. Okay? And not a little water. He went down into the water. Okay? All right. Micah 5:2. Real quick.
But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting.
There you have it. Tells about where Jesus is born, right? Right? Bethlehem, okay? And the last one is Joel 2:28-32. Who's got that? Joel 2:28-32. Who wants to take it?
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls.
Wow, that sounds familiar. I think I've read that somewhere in the New Testament. I heard that. Oh, was it Acts? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Pentecost, right? Right? This is whenever we see, you know, people are wanting to know with regards to the apostles speaking in tongues. This is what we see. The church is being established. The birth of the church, okay? This change is coming, all right? All right, so, you know, these prophets were key. They were critical, okay, with regards to their involvement with these kings, okay? And what they were prophesying with regards to from creation to the cross, okay? Jesus is coming, okay? You all right, Lloyd?
Yeah.
All right, buddy, I heard. I feel for you. All right. Any questions or comments before we wrap this up? Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at Judah, and we're going to look at Babylon. Okay, that Babylonian period as well. Thank you for your time and your attention. I appreciate it.